I'll invite you to join me in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And before we get into that, I just wanted to read a few verses from kind of the where we started with this Bible Delight series from Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We want to be that prosperous people, prosperous Christians, that are like the one tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that we flourish, we bear fruit. And the way we do that is by delighting in the Word of God, delighting in the Scriptures. And just like we might have some desserts that we delighted in this past week, I don't know if you did, but I did, where you partake of these things and you think, wow, this is, the world is okay, for at least for a moment. Maybe you don't eat desserts that way. But we do delight in many things. We delight in our kids or grandkids. We delight in sunshine whenever it's been cold. We delight in maybe a warm building that we get to walk into whenever it's freezing outside. All of those things. But really, our delight should be in the Word of God. Our spiritual delight is in the Word of God because of who wrote it and what it accomplishes in us and all of those things that we've talked about. And then as we kind of think about this new year, I like New Year's. I like the idea of a fresh start, some aspect of, okay, what can I focus on this next year? What can be something that we try to make progress on, a goal or whatever? Maybe you're not big on New Year's resolutions, but at least to have some kind of a focus, some kind of a goal that you're working on. And this, what I want to challenge us with tonight has to do with the Word of God and our delight in it. But really, what are we doing with the Word of God, and what can we do this next year to make sure that it is living and abiding in us? And we find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And really, we're only going to cover the first part of this verse. I'll go ahead and read the whole verse, but it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We are going to cover just the first part. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is what my challenge is going to be for you this next year, among other challenges that you might have, but that you would let those scriptures, let God's word dwell in you richly. And we have 3 points, all that come out of this phrase. And I want your help to see where I get these points, okay? So put on your brains or crank it up a little bit. And we have the first thing that we're going to see is a command. We see the command. And usually in the scriptures, anytime in scriptures or anywhere, a command is a verb. And in this particular part of the verse, we have 2 words that comprise our command. Look at our phrase here, our statement, and see what is the command. What was that? Let dwell. Those are the 2 words that comprise our command. Let dwell. We'll get into it in a second. The content. What are we supposed to let dwell? What's the content of this command? I hear some whispers. The word of Christ, right? The word specifically, but the word of Christ is the content. And then we have the condition. What is the condition of how this is supposed to dwell in us? Richly. Pretty simple, right? Pretty basic. I wanted to do the whole verse or maybe in a couple of verses, and then I thought, no, we better not, because we got enough right here. And this is really the what I want us to focus on is this idea, this command first, to let something dwell. The command here is a, and I don't want you to zone out, but it's present, means it needs to be done right now, be doing this, and it's active, be continuing to do this, and it's a command, it's imperative. Now, that means something. It doesn't mean it. This command is not, I hope you decided to do this yesterday because now you're covered. That's not the thrust of this command. The thrust of this command is be doing this on a regular basis. Be letting something dwell. The word dwell here is to live, to inhabit. It comes from the word to of a house, like a building a house, and it means to be at home in something. Now we've gone to some family and different things, and maybe you've gone out of your house and visited with folks, and how nice is it? I hope you feel this way. How nice is it when you come back home and you get to breathe that sigh of relief that now you can kick off your shoes and not worry about what people think about your feet, or you can sit in your chair and just relax, or whatever you do. You put on your pajamas and nobody's judging you, whatever. But you feel at home in a place. That is the idea behind dwelling here. To abide, to feel like this is where it belongs. And with the command of letting something happen, it really communicates the idea of removing barriers. If you, I have one of my sons that wants to go climb a tree. And he's already halfway up the tree. Melody is probably going to see that and say, put a stop to that. I'm scared somebody's going to fall and break an arm or something. And I'm going to say, just let him be. Yeah, you got more tree you got to climb. Keep going. I'm going to let him do that. I'm going to remove any barriers because I think boys need to do some dangerous things safely or whatever, but they need to experience some adventure and all of those things. So I'm gonna try to remove some barriers. Maybe that barrier is my wife that's out there, and I might squelch that a little bit, but I'm gonna let this happen. It's almost like with this dwelling, we have barriers that seem to creep in to something that's automatically supposed to be happening. And when we're talking about the content of this, the word of Christ that's supposed to be dwelling in us, that's something really that should be happening automatically. And we tend to have barriers that get put up to keep this from happening, whether it's a distraction or whether it's just a negligence or something like that. But for Christians who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, the Holy Spirit is going to be trying to pack in the Word of God. And we need to be letting that happen and stop putting up any barriers to that. To let this occupation happen. And so that's the command. Number two is the content, the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. We have a couple of ways that this phrase can be taken. One is the message about Christ. This is the gospel. And this would be included in this. the gospel should be dwelling in us. I heard, I think it was Alistair Begg on the radio or something like that recently, talking about how we should be preaching the gospel to ourselves on a regular basis. And what does that mean, to preach the gospel to yourself? Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news about Christ. Is it the work that we do? No, it's by grace that we're saved. That's the gospel. And if we don't preach that to ourselves, we start to think we have something to do with this. We start to think we're the ones holding this together, and to constantly remind ourselves what the gospel of Christ is. It's the grace of God in our lives that has accomplished something, and we need to preach that to ourselves. Let that message live in us, take up residency in us, so that we don't forget. The other way you can take this is message from Christ. This is Christ teaching. The things that he said, his life, the way he lived, and those things that we find in the Gospels that are from Christ. And those we need to be assimilating into our lives and understanding and bringing those in. So that's number two of the content. The third one is the message from Christ in general. This is the scriptures. And this is really where we would put the emphasis, is on all of the Word of God. To let the Word of God take up residency in us all the time, regularly. Be letting this happen so that we are filled with and dwelled with the Word of God. And then we're supposed to do that richly. We're moving through this very fast, so you might get out here early, or I don't know, maybe I'll make up something else. But the condition of this is richly. How is this supposed to happen? In what condition is the Word of God supposed to dwell in us? Abundantly, richly. The word has to do with abundant wealth or extravagantly rich. It communicates a depth, a volume, even density. If you were to say, oh man, that dessert was so rich. Are you saying that it has a lot of money? Or are you saying it's really big? No, you're saying that the ingredients that are in there are dense. Dense of sugar or dense of fat or whatever tasty thing that we like to put in desserts, that it's packed in there, and that's a rich thing. When we go to the Word of God, we need to extract and assimilate those rich truths, those deep, dense, and sometimes voluminous things that we find in the Word of God. Assimilate those things into our lives. There another verse that uses this word richly, that gives us some insight into how we should view this, is Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. He's talking about salvation. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, whom the Holy Ghost, he shed on us abundantly, as our word, through Jesus Christ our Savior. What he's saying is we have the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Is he saying in little bits of measurement? He's saying abundantly. We get all of the Holy Spirit when we get saved. We receive the Holy Spirit in his fullness. We don't get parts of him. We don't get, little pieces. He gives it to us abundantly. That's the idea. It's abundant and overflowing. There's no more that we can hold. And this, on a side note, this kind of is where some of the charismatic movement would go off the truth, off the rails is they would say, you need some other experience to get more of the Holy Spirit. So you can maybe you need to speak in tongues. You gotta have some kind of other experience other than salvation to get more of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe that because God poured onto us the Holy Spirit abundantly when we were saved. Another verse, 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth richly, there's our word, richly, all things to enjoy. God does not do small measurements when he blesses us. If you look around, you will have to admit, if you're honest, that the Lord has given you rich blessings. Even though you may be having a hard time, or you may have struggles, you may have things that are in your life that you don't like, and maybe you've chosen those things, maybe you haven't, maybe they're not your fault, whatever, but you can still look around and see God's rich blessings. That's how God blesses us, richly, not in little bits and pieces. We're not barely getting by on God's blessings. He is abundant with those things. And that's the way that we should be assimilating the Word of God into our lives and into our hearts this coming year. That it wouldn't be little bits and pieces here and there, but that it would be abundantly, that it would be richly assimilated and take up residency in our lives. We have some illustrations of this. The other day, or the other night at the Christmas Eve service, we had communion, and I helped with passing out the elements. We got to the juice, and I got over here with the Clarks, and Miss Lucy picked up her juice, and I got a little too excited and was trying to get to other people, and I pulled away too soon, and it spilled out onto Carissa's pants. And I felt so bad. I was like, oh man. So I had to give them another one and offered to pay for some pants if the stain didn't come out. It came out. But why did grape juice spill out of that cup? Because it had grape juice in it. That's why grape juice came out when it turned over, because it had grape juice in it. When we get bumped, when we get pushed, jostled, sometimes even turned upside down, what's going to come out? Whatever we put in. Whatever gets put in to us, that's what's going to come out. Have you ever seen somebody, when something bad happens, they get angry, they get bitter, they get anxious, they get all of these things that we're not supposed to be? Why is that? Because that's what's on the inside. You can't fake that. You can't fake the response that happens when you get pressed into a tight spot. That's why you have to focus on filling yourself with the Word of God. And you have to be doing that regularly. You have to be letting that dwell in you. Take away the barriers to the constant dwelling of the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and see just another part of this. It Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting in verse 4, it's a very familiar passage, trying to set the Israelites up for success as the people of God. It says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." How are they going to stay there? What? How do you make sure that they are in the heart? Look at verse 7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou wakest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets or phylacteries or containers between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." How do you assimilate the word of God, the commands of God, into your life so that they take up residency, so that they dwell and occupy the space that is you? How do you do that? You talk about them. You teach them to your kids and your grandkids. You read it every day. You decorate your house with it. That's what you put it on your doorposts. Put it on your gates. Put something on your hand. The Israelites actually took this very literally, and they would have little containers, or they would put verses and scriptures and hang them around their neck, put them on their person, and as an attempt to fulfill this. But really what we're looking at is be in contact with the Word of God all the time, as much as possible. Take away the barriers of other things and let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And then if you do that over time, when you do get bumped, when you do get into a tight spot, you get squeezed, things don't go your way, what's going to come out? The Word of God and peace and kindness and humility. Those things come out when the Word of God lives in us. So, just some practical things. As we close, that's all the scriptures I have for you, so we're early. Just some practical things of things that you probably already do, maybe. Maybe you should try to do some of these things this year. Don't try to do everything, because that's a great way to do nothing. But have some sort of a daily reading plan. You don't have to do a whole Bible in a year plan. That's a good idea if you like to. I have talked to people where if they try that, they get very discouraged, and it doesn't work well for them. So if that doesn't work well for you, do some other plan. But a plan that incorporates a daily reading. And it can just be reading. You don't have to always be deep study. You do want to do deep study, but just familiarity with the Word of God. Reading out loud to yourself. This is a great practice and we kind of talked about this when we talked about meditation. When you can speak the Word of God by reading it, and then it actually goes back into your ears, and it works its way into yourself better when you can read it out loud. Read the scriptures. Have family devotions. This would be especially for husbands, for fathers. Have a time where your family gathers and you read the Word of God. that's a regular thing. You may not get it every day, and we're not able to do that, or we don't do that every night of the week, but we try to do it a few nights a week so that we can, this can be a part of our family life. Memorize scripture. Now, I know some of you already are just like, oh, nope, can't do that. My brain is not able to memorize anything. I doubt it. If I were to give you something and to memorize and tell you that if you don't memorize this in 2 weeks, your grandkid is going to die, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to memorize it. To save somebody's life, you would do it. It's all about motivation, right? I'm not saying you need to formulate that kind of motivation in your life, but it is possible. So memorize scripture, even if it takes all year to get a few verses. It doesn't matter. But work on that. That is allowing the Word of God to dwell in you. Sit under quality preaching. Now, you're here on a Sunday night. That's preaching to the choir, right? You want to be under the preaching of the Word of God. But that happens. That can happen on other days rather than Sunday. There are so many resources out there where you can hear quality preachers expound the Word of God so that you can get more doses of the Word of God. Remove the barriers to allowing the Word of God in you. We have Bible studies. We have Wednesday night Bible studies. Tom Hummingbird does a Bible study. We have other ladies' Bible studies, men's things. Avail yourself to these areas. Teach a Bible lesson. This is a great way to assimilate the Word of God into your life when you have to teach somebody else. If you've got to teach something, you learn it differently, you think about it differently, and then you really have to grasp it as best you can if you're gonna teach it. So maybe part of your Sunday school class, you can say, maybe if you're in the adults, maybe if you're a man, you can say, okay, I wanna teach a lesson. That might scare you to death, but it would be very good for you. Maybe if you have a ladies group and you wanna present a lesson. Or even if it's just sharing a couple of verses and what those things mean. This is a way to assimilate the Word of God into you. Discussing biblical concepts. Sometimes we get to discussing just life and we miss the biblical concepts that we need, that would be good to discuss, talk about those things and how the Bible should come to bear in our lives. This is one of the things I miss about college, is this happens a lot. You sit down for lunch with a couple other ministerial students and you just got out of a Bible class and you discuss these biblical concepts, these interpretations and how what we're supposed to get out of the scriptures. Do that. Singing or reading songs. This is a part of that Colossians 3:16. Availing yourself to doctrinal things that come from the Word of God in song. Whether it's psalms, hymns that we might sing, spiritual songs, those things that are spiritually rooted, avail yourself to those things. And if you're so inclined, we have some talented musical people, put music to scripture or put scripture to music. You don't have to come up with all the words, just you got the words there, just add some music. I love Bible scripture songs that just take the scripture word for word and just put a tune to it. It helps to remember it. I have verses that I can remember from childhood because it's in a song. And that's a way to get something out of the way so that the Word of God can take up residency in your life. And I mentioned this earlier, decorate your house with scripture. My mom would do this. She didn't really decorate. She just posted things all over the place, on the bathroom mirror. Usually it was, let all things be done decently and in order, because we were messy or something. So pick a place, a refrigerator. You're going to go there. You're going to go to the restroom. You're going to go, wherever, and put the Word of God so that it's there. This is not a weird thing to be thinking about the Word of God. Make it so that it's your natural thing. The Word of God feels at home in you. That's what it means to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Make it feel at home to be thinking about the Lord, to be thinking about the Word of the Lord. And this year, if you'll do that, according to Psalm 1, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bears fruit, it's successful in the things that the Lord wants you to be successful in. And that's the success that really counts. I'm not saying if you do this, your job is going to get better and you're going to make twice as much money and all of those things. That's not necessarily true. But you will be successful in what it matters if you will allow and keep allowing the Word of God to take up residency in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word that you have given us. We pray that you would help us to take this challenge seriously this year, that we would take steps to assimilate your word into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts, so that it changes us, so that it makes us more like Christ, so that we represent you to the world around us in a way that honors you and leads other people to you. Help us to learn to do this and to exercise this activity in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.